Good morning, everybody. Welcome again into the presence of the Lord, and praise the Lord for another opportunity to worship Him on this, the Lord's Day, Sunday. I'm going to preach again from Joshua today, and before we do that, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your goodness, and we thank You for Your keeping. And Holy Spirit, we pray that You will come and presence Yourself with us. Spirit, please anoint me with Your power and anoint the hearing of Your people so that we may grasp Your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray this with much thanksgiving. Amen. Yeah, today we're going to again look at the aspect of living the Christian life. The book of Joshua is about living the godly life in the land. And we know that godly living is a life that requires dependency upon the Lord. Godly living gives us exposure to the supernatural. I have a quote here by W.F. Adeney. And it says, we ought to recognize the supernatural force in the natural and discern behind the common and familiar the mystery and majesty of the divine. End quote. Today I want to speak about blending natural and supernatural. As we look at Joshua chapter 10, verses 1 to 15, which is what I want you to turn to in the meantime, I want to bring again to your attention how that the providence of God is able to take our off-guard mistakes and turn it into good and make it on target. That was what my sermon was about last week. Those mistakes happen, and in this case, making a treaty with the Gibeonites was a mistake. But we see that this mistake would advance the purposes of God, and we are able to see that even in today's message. And we would like to see how the Gibeonites fitted in to the presence of God, and sorry, to the purpose of God. And so, please take your Bibles and let's read together from Joshua chapter 10, verses 1 to 15. Joshua chapter 10, verses 1 to 15. Carla again is going to read for us, and praise the Lord for her.
The sun stands still. Now Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had taken Ai and totally destroyed it, doing to Ai and its kings as he had done to Jericho and its king, and that the people of Gibeon had made a treaty of peace with Israel and had become their allies. He and his people were very much alarmed at this, because Gibeon was an important city. Like one of the royal cities, it was larger than Ai, and all its men were good fighters. So Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, appealed to Hoham, king of Hebron, Piram, king of Jarmuth, Japhiah, king of Lachish, and Deborah, king of Eglon. Come up and help me attack Gibeon, he said, because it has made peace with Joshua and the Israelites. Then the five kings of the Amorites, the kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon, joined forces. They moved up with all their troops and took up positions against Gibeon and attacked it. The Gibeonites then sent word to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal, do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us, because all the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces against us. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I've given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, So Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road going up to Beth Horon and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makkedah. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them, and more of them died from the hail than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nation avenged itself on its enemies. As it is written in the book of Joshua, the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Then Joshua returned with all Israel to the camp at Gilgal.
Thank you, Carla. It's a story that sounds much like all the other stories, except that there are some unique differences in this story. But I want to take this text and put it under three headings. The first heading, the divine purpose, that is from verses 1 to verse 6. The second heading, the divine promise, and that is from verse 7 to verse 10. And the divine participation, thirdly, and that is from verse 11 to verse 15. These three headings will bring across to us the mind of God under the first heading, which is expressed in the Word of God, which is under the second heading, and under the third heading, we will be looking at how the Word of God is displayed by the deed of God. And so as we look at this text, we pray that the Lord will show us what we mean by this title, blending natural and supernatural. Let's look at the divine purpose from verses 1 to 6. The divine purpose expresses the mind of God. The divine purpose is about the territory, you will see. The providence of God emanates from the purpose of God. So the providence of God always looks forward to what the purpose is, so that the providence will work out the purpose of God. That is why the Gibeonites became the servants of Israel and the servants of the altar of the Lord. You see, as servants, God knew that they would serve some purpose within the purpose or the plan of God. And we see this exactly here. The king of Jerusalem, Adonai Zedek, came and he saw Gibeon. Gibeon was strong. Gibeon had its own fighting men. Yes, they chose not to go up against Israel because they understood that Israel was being led by the Lord, and they did not want to fight against the Lord. And that is why, in their wisdom, they subjugated themselves to Israel. But that story had something to do with what was to come. The story of what was to come is precisely here, in that the coalition under the king of Jerusalem invited four other kings to fight with him against the Gibeonites. Actually, they were all from the same region, these five cities and these five kings who would form a confederacy against the Gibeonites. And when the Gibeonites learned of this coalition coming against them, they sent word to the Israelites. But this was the point of God. You see, the purpose of God is about the territory. God was going to give the land of Palestine to the Israelites. And God had to work out a way in which the land would become that of the Israelites. Those five kings, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, they were of the south of the land. And they would come together against the Gibeonites. But you see, there were other places also in the same vicinity in the south of the land. Debir, Libna, Negev, Kadesh Barnea, Gaza, and Goshen. These were all part of the southern part of the land, and God was wanting to give the whole land to the Israelites. And so God was going to deal with the southern part first. And so God needed the Gibeonites in order to attract these kings in confederacy so that they would actually come against the people of Israel. So we see then that the Gibeonites makes a call to the Israelites, to Joshua. Please, do not abandon your servants. Then in verse 6, come up to us quickly and save us. Now, let me tell you this, that Israel was obliged to aid a subject people to them. This is how it was done. A subject people belonged to them. And whoever attacked the subject people was actually making attack against them. And so, Israel was obligated by that pledge that they had made with the Gibeonites. They were obligated also by their own integrity. In other words, they needed to show the Gibeonites, and they needed to show the world, and they needed to show us, who would come later on in history, that they were a dependable people. Integrity was part of their hallmark. And we are told that God fought with Israel for the Gibeonites. Now you know why the Gibeonites fitted into this whole picture. The Gibeonites fitted into the story. Why? Because it would give the people of God the opportunity to gain the territory that God was intending to give them anyway. That's why the providence of God was aimed at the purpose of God, and the purpose of God worked out an agenda so that that purpose would be fulfilled. And part of that agenda was having the Gibeonites subjugate themselves to Israel. Now this is what was on the mind of God. What was on the mind of God. Our second heading is the divine promise. The divine promise is about the word of God. The purpose is about the mind of God. And the promise is about the word of God. You see, this promise is about the triumph. While the purpose was for the territory, the promise is for the triumph. God knew that He was going to give His people triumph over this confederacy. And the first words that are uttered to Joshua, which is a key phrase in the book of Joshua, is this: do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. You see, God gave Joshua this word, do not be afraid. God gave Joshua this word that would give him courage. He said, God said to Joshua, I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. In verse 8. This gave Joshua and the Israelites spirited courage, and they could go up against these five kings. And the word of God, having come to man, gave them this assurance that God was for them. Now, beloved, listen to this, that Joshua, on the other hand, had a strategic charge. In verses 9 and 10, we are seeing that Joshua immediately marched up from Gilgal, him and his entire army, him and the best fighting men that he had. They had to go to Gibeon. And Gibeon was about 30 kilometers away. And the Bible says here in our text that Joshua had an all-night march to Gibeon from Gilgal. They marched up. They marched all night, and the Bible says that they took the enemy, they took the coalition by surprise. And when they had taken the enemy by surprise, the Bible says that the Lord threw them into confusion. The word confusion in the Hebrew actually means terror or panic. The Lord put them into terror and put them into a panic in this confusion that they experienced. And the Bible teaches us, so Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. I want you to see that the divine purpose of God used the providence of God so that the purpose of God could be fulfilled through the agenda of God. Now, that is something that is supernatural. But we also know that it is very natural that the Gibeonites had to call for help from the Israelites. God was in control of His providence and of His purpose and of His agenda. That is the supernatural. And the people were in control of their safety. And basically, when the Gibeonites called out to the Israelites to come and help them, the Israelites were obligated, and that was natural because that was the law, to go and aid the Gibeonites. So we see that the supernatural and the natural came together, and there was a blending in this sense that God fought with Israel against the Confederacy or for Gibeon. That was what was on the mind of God. Now, as far as the purpose of God is concerned, when God gave them courage, the spirited courage, to say to them, do not be afraid, I have given them into your hands, and not one of them will be able to withstand you. That was the word of God coming to man. That is supernatural. The word of God is supernatural. And the word of God coming up to Joshua, is supernatural. But when Joshua immediately marched up to Gilgal, that was natural. Natural for the Israelite army to do. When Joshua had his men march all night, through the night, in order to be there in the morning, that was natural, that was natural strategy, that was human, and we know that when those others were caught by surprise, that was human that they should be surprised by all of that. The natural and the supernatural came together and blended, and the Bible says, and the Lord threw them into confusion. That must have been the supernatural blending with the natural, because in that text in verse 10 we are told, so Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. The supernatural, the word of God, and the effort of Joshua and his troops came together and they defeated these five kings. My last heading is the divine participation. This year is about the deed of God. The deed of God. We had the mind of God in the purpose. We had the word of God in the promise. And now we have the deed of God in the participation. The purpose was for territory, and the promise was for triumph, but the participation is for the testimony of the greatness of God, the deed of God. Look at what God did. What God did was from heaven. What God did was in heaven. And what God did was by heaven. From heaven, in verse 11, tells us that hailstones were hurled down from the Lord, killing more with the hail than with the sword. They were large hailstones, and the Lord hurled them down. Now, I don't know how large those hailstones were, but we know that the law of momentum is a mass with velocity is able to make great impact. And I am sure that the hurling down was sending these hailstones with great velocity, with great speed, so that it could kill people. In fact, I read up on hailstones. The biggest recorded hailstone was taken in a town called Vivian in South Dakota of the USA on 23rd of July 2010. A hailstone that measured about 8 inches, that is 200 millimeters, that's about that big. And it weighed a kilogram, just a little more than a kilogram, because it weighed 2 pounds, is what I read. Now, with such a big hailstone, surely it didn't even have to travel very fast in order to kill a person. And if that was sent down very fast, which again, because of its weight, would have come down faster by gravitational pull, I believe that certainly it would have killed people and animals. We are told about this, and I want to illustrate the fact of hailstones. It was the 7th plague of the 10 plagues upon the Egyptians. And it is found in chapter 9 of Exodus. And the Bible said that God said to Pharaoh through Moses, I am going to send down hailstones. There will be a hailstorm. And unless the people move within cover and they move their animals away, those hailstones are going to kill both man and animal. And so, though some of them were warned, others were not warned, and the hailstorm came, and many people and animals were killed by this plague. So God is able to send hailstones. But see, the supernatural is sometimes so big that actually it makes us think. And again, there's a connection here between this story and the Exodus. In this story, the hailstones only kill the enemy. And the Israelites were pursuing them. But the hailstones only killed the enemy. Now I believe that was exactly the case with the seventh plague and for all the plagues. The Bible says that the plagues came upon the Egyptians and they affected the Egyptians, but on the Israelites who lived in Goshen, there was no hail or no gnats or no frogs or whatever the plague was. There was a difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And there is here now a difference between the people of God, the Israelites, and those who have come in coalition together against the Gibeonites. The second is, first of all, there was the hail from heaven. That was a supernatural act. Then there is in heaven something else. And that is Joshua commanding the sun and the moon to stand still. Now you may wonder, how does this work? Well, I believe that the army marched up to Gibeon from Gilgal at night. And if they do that at night, the moon was available to them, because we read later on that the moon was there as well. And here we had a hailstorm. So it should have been cloudy in the morning. And it should have been cloudy maybe during the confusion and the fighting. And it may have still been overcast when the enemies were fleeing away from the Israelites. And then that is what brought the storm of hailstones upon the fleeing enemy. But after the storm, the clouds must have gone and the sky must have been cleared. And there was the sun. Time was needed by Joshua to obliterate the enemy. There was not enough time left in the day, and by the command of Joshua, as the Lord enabled him by his faith, told the sun to stand still in the sky. And the sun stood still in the sky for about the length of a day, we are told. Now this must have been a miracle. But this was a miracle that was done by the word of a man. There was this protracted pursuit that Joshua needed the sun. And they were running to the valley of Ajalon, the Bible tells us. And Joshua commands the moon to stay over the valley of Ajalon. Because if they were needing to fight even into the night, that they would be able to fight in the moon, because they were traveling at night the previous day. And so here, as I come to the end of the story, we are told that the sun stood still and the moon stood still. And this here is recorded on the book of Jasher. Now, we don't have the book of Jasher in the Bible, but the Bible refers to the book of Jasher. See, not all books were canonized, and God, by his providence again, gave us the 66 books that are now in the Bible. And then lastly, by heaven. There in verse 14, at the end of verse 14, the Bible says, there's never been a day like it before or since. A day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely, the Lord was fighting for Israel. As I come to the end of this sermon, we see that Joshua, by speaking as a man, is the natural. But the blending of the supernatural with the natural comes in this, that day was a special day because the Lord listened to a human being. You know, God listens to human beings all the time. And by our prayers, God is moved. The prayer that is prayed by faith moves the hand of God. And here we are, the people of God. One thing is for sure, we know that God is supernatural. We know that we are natural. And the supernatural is true only of God. But we, as the natural, can get the supernatural by faith. And so, as we have this providence given to us by God, as we have the sovereignty of the Lord, where God can use man, that where God can use nature. The hailstorm was nature. The sun is nature. The moon is nature. And here, God uses humans, and that is from nature. That the supernatural and the natural, or the natural can come together and be blended so that the world may have this testimony before them. And that is, surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. I have a quote as I end. Sometimes we go through trouble, and this quote speaks about trouble. Trouble permitted by providence is a blessing, end quote. Let me quote it again. Trouble permitted by providence is a blessing. That's an anonymous quote, but I think that it is rather one that is apt. First of all, the purpose of God displays the mind of God, which is for the territory of the people. And God's supernatural acts come together with the natural of Joshua and his troops, and blended, they bring confusion. As far as the promise is concerned, we see that the word of God comes and promises triumph, so that Joshua would not be afraid, knowing that God has given them into his hand. Such a word from God, such a promise from God is supernatural. But the fighting was left to Joshua. He had to march up. He had to march all night. And so there was human effort. And the supernatural and the natural came together and was blended so that Joshua and the Israelites defeated completely those kings at Gibeon. And then finally, the divine participation speaks about the deed of God, or the deeds of God. And the deeds of God are aimed at the testimony of God. And so God is able to send hailstones from heaven, and by that kill more than was put to the sword. And in heaven, He made the sun stand still and the moon stand still so that the natural of pursuit of these enemies could be performed. And then the Bible says, then came the blending, that there was never a day like this when God listened to a human being. And God fought for Israel. Beloved, as we come to this end, we are asking you to recognize God wants to be involved in our lives by His providence, by His word, by His action, and we need to be involved in doing the fighting, in doing the marching, in doing the praying. And yes, again, I am thinking of young Joshua. Our prayers can make God listen to a human being. And the power of God is able to bring healing. We believe the Lord. We trust in the Lord, the sovereign Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that you will have spoken to your people by your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.